So, thank you for it's hard to believe that we are in the countdown days of our season here at CPC, and 20 years have gone by quickly. I saw the picture of our kids, and along with all the other families with their kids, and here we are. Basically, I think we got 3 Sundays to go. But I want to say, as we begin this morning, it is a joy to be able to speak today on Mother's Day. I've often felt a little bit intimidated speaking on Mother's Day, because what is a guy like me going to have to say that's going to help you as moms? But I hope that just the fact of being able to observe mothers and just being around some very strong, amazing moms over the years, that there's some things that I can share today, but not only from experience, but also from God's Word. I've shared this before at different times, that I had the privilege of actually having 2 moms. And I've often said that I was a project, and God chose to use 2 moms to kind of help, you know, get the job done. And so my first mother, she passed away when I was 7 years old. She was in the Victoria General Hospital and faced a surgery that didn't quite turn out the way it was supposed to. And as a result, at a young age, the Lord took my mother home. But one of my fondest memories, and I don't have a lot of memories. I don't know why it is, but one of the ones that does stand out for me personally was at the age of 3, we were living in Whitehorse, Yukon, and my dad was a pastor up there, and we often would have prayer times following our gatherings, our services, and on this particular day, my mother and a few of us had gone into this little room and knelt down at a chair and began to pray, and I was beside my mom, and at the age of 3, she took that opportunity to actually ask if I wanted to invite Jesus to come into my life. And so, as a 3-year-old, and that was one of the memories that I still cherish in my heart today. And then as time went on, God took her home. At the age of 10, my father remarried, and I was blessed with a second mom. My first mother's name was Ruth. And so I make reference to her as Mother Ruth. And then my dad remarried a woman by the name of Beatrice Mary, and he called her Mary B. And that's kind of how it all worked out. And so the interesting thing is with my second mom, who actually lived right up until she was almost 90, she passed away while we were actually living here in the Comox Valley a number of years ago. But she had a significant impact on my life as well, taking me through my teen years, and I may say more about that a little bit later. But the reality is I was blessed with the influence of 2 great moms, and I will always be grateful for that. And so today what I want to talk about for a few minutes is mom's greatest gifts, and gifts that you as moms can give your children. And I would say, you know, there's a lot of things we think about when it comes to, you know, we'd love our kids to have this. We'd love to have our kids to have the latest and the best and the greatest of, you know, the gadgets, the trampolines or whatever. And we're often thinking about what we'd love to give our kids. Well, I want to share today what I believe biblically, but also practically, are the greatest gifts that you can give your children. And I hope that you will receive this today, because I believe strongly. Now, there's things that I won't mention today, but the ones that I'm going to share with you today, I believe, are extremely important. The first one that I'd like to suggest today as one of the greatest gifts you can give your kids is, number one, the gift of your presence. The gift of your presence. And not presence, but the gift of you. We'll say that about that in a minute. And the reality is every mom in this place has different circumstances. There's no mom that's not a busy mom, let's face it, right? Every mom's a busy mom. But we have We have moms who work outside the home. We have stay-at-home moms. We have single moms, moms who are basically they deal with the challenge of parenting alone. And I'll tell you, so my hat goes off to you, because you guys face a lot of challenges that others maybe don't. And so we salute you, and we're here for you. But there's all kinds of circumstances around motherhood. And so when I say the gift of your presence, the gift of you, I'm not saying necessarily 24 hours of the day, but the reality is this is something that needs to be paid attention to, because there is no one that can do a better job when it comes to influencing your children than you. There's no one that can actually shape the destiny of their kids more than you. Abraham Lincoln once said, "Everything I am today, I owe it to my mother." I thought it was an interesting statement that he said. Winston Churchill, there was an interesting story. One time, it was one of the editors of a London newspaper decided that, you know, he wanted to see kind of what was behind this great man, this great leader of ours. He was the Prime Minister of England. And so they were asking, what made him tick? And so this editor went through all of the great teachers, all of the guys who, the people who had influenced his life and throughout his college education and growing up and so on, and listed all these amazing teachers, like people with amazing degrees and talents and so on. And it was a little while later when Churchill decided, you know what? He decided to write an open letter back to the newspaper, and he said, "You missed one very important person." And guess who that was? His mother. He says, "You missed the most important teacher in my life." And he said, it was his mother. And so my encouragement to you this morning is that in this place, the greatest gift that you can give your children is the gift, or one of the greatest gifts that you can give your children is the gift of you. And I want to encourage you with that. And I would say that God chose mothers for this because, let's face it, being a mother is not for the faint of heart. How many moms would agree with that? Being a mom is not for the faint of heart. It's interesting. I talked to a dad the other day who told me that his wife had gone away for a few days, and like it just about killed him. The fact that he had these kids for a number of days, and he was thinking, how does she do this? Here's an interesting one for you. This it says wanted for long-term position. This is like an ad for a job. Wanted for long-term position. Degree or diploma not necessary. Knowledge of the following helpful: cooking, baking, and especially cookies and apple pie. Washing, doctoring cuts and bruises and measles. Doctoring small broken hearts and bloody noses. Has that ever happened in your house, bloody nose? Yeah, it happened in our house a few times. Sewing buttons and costumes and party dresses. She must be able to referee fights and games and play ball and drive a car and know long division and how to blow up balloons, and give birthday parties, and go camping, and sailing, and fishing, and pick up worms, and attend parent school meetings. She must be willing to tolerate dirty little boys and giggling little girls. We saw a few of them in the video earlier. Wasn't that cool? And you never know what's going to come out of their mouth, right? She must be willing to tolerate puppies, tracked up floors, and tired husbands. She should be a financial wizard, able to manage a household with nickels, dimes, and dollars, and still be able to save for college. She should be able to patch broken dolls and trucks and be Santa's helper and color eggs and make potato salad for boys' club and attend Little League Baseball, and we have a few of them in our church, listen to rock music, and tell bedtime stories. She should have a twinkle in the eye, easy laughter, have a shoulder to cry on, arms to cuddle, and be able to sing and hum a tune for a lullaby time. Grand old opera, not necessary. She must have the stamina of a plow horse and know about electric cords and multiple remote controls. Sound familiar? Mud pies and kindergarten drawings and pillow fights and how to play I Spy. Color of eyes and hair, not important, but must be available 24 hours a day. even when she's sick. Create an island of a home. No overtime pay and no days off. Must absolutely have a heart that will chase after rainbows and kittens, butterflies and mittens. Must be able to forgive over and over and love forever. Sounds like a superwoman is needed. But just a mother, a mom, a ma. And there must be millions because God knew that they had to be in this world to make it complete. How many are thankful for moms this morning? And we have a bunch of these kind of moms here in this place. And so here's my point. Don't ever underestimate, mom, the gift of you to your children. Don't ever underestimate how important the gift of your presence, the gift of your influence, the gift of being able to share the gift of your life with your children. It's an amazing privilege and responsibility. And so that's the first gift that I'd like to just suggest this morning to you. The second gift is the gift of your faith. And one of the things I want to talk about is how your kids need to be able to experience the same God that you've come to experience, the same Jesus Christ that you have encountered, the same Jesus that you have given your life to. It's so important that your kids be able to catch this as well. One of the great examples of this is found in 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I love the story of the Apostle Paul and how that he was choosing a young man by the name of Timothy. He was considering this young guy by the name of Timothy, and how that Timothy was someone that he was interested in possibly taking with him on one of his missionary journeys. And I found this interesting that one of the things that Paul was a little bit of a risk taker, because in Paul's day, in ancient biblical times, it was often, the reality is that young men were often not respected the way they could have been. They were often despised. They were often rejected. It was sort of like the culture of the day was like, what are they going to have to say? What are they going to have to offer? And so, but Paul was very attracted to this young man by the name of Timothy. And so the question is today, what was it that Paul was attracted to? What was it that he was drawn to? Well, the answer we see here in 2 Timothy verse 1, 5, and we'll show it on the screen, it was his faith. It was Timothy's faith. And the question is, where did he get that faith? How did he come to this faith? Was it kids' church? Was it Sunday school? Was it a camp? Was it going to History Makers? At that time he didn't have any of that stuff. You know where that faith came from? Came from his mother and his grandmother. And so let me read this, what it says here in 2 Timothy verse 1-5, where Paul says, and he's speaking about Timothy, he says, "And I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." Paul was drawn to Timothy's faith. But where was that faith first recognized? It was recognized in his grandmother, who passed it on to her daughter. Lois passed it on to Eunice. And now Eunice, Timothy's mother, has passed it on to him. And so the picture we have here is two amazing moms pouring their faith into the lives of their children. Grandma Lois, how many are thankful for Grandma Lois? Grandma Lois pouring her faith into Eunice, and now Eunice pouring her faith into her son Timothy. And it was this faith, sincere faith, authentic faith, real faith. It's interesting that he actually used the word sincere faith. This was not just some kind of, we're just nominal Christian. This was sincere, authentic, genuine, real faith. And it was this faith in Timothy's life that eventually got the attention of the Apostle Paul. And I want to just say that there's a little bit of a word of encouragement here, especially to moms who maybe don't have a father in the picture. Commentaries suggest that Eunice perhaps might have been a single mom. We don't know for sure. Or perhaps she didn't have a believing husband. We're not exactly told the whole story. But the reality is there's no mention of a father figure here. There's no mention of Timothy's dad. All we're actually drawn to is Timothy's mother and his grandmother. Now imagine if he would have had the influence of a great dad as well. It could have just been like amazing. And so we don't want to Father's Day is coming, dads. And so really the reality is what I'm saying to moms today is also a word that every dad can take hold of it. So dad, don't check out on me, all right? Promise? This is something that we all need to receive and hear today. But some of you moms this morning can relate to this. Some of you, as I mentioned earlier, are facing the challenges of parenting alone. Or perhaps you have an unbelieving husband, a husband who's not yet given his life over to Jesus Christ. And I just want to say, allow this story, and you can read about it in 2 Timothy 1, allow this story to encourage you. Allow this story to help remind you that, yes, you can do this, and God can help you with this responsibility of helping to pass faith into the lives of your children. And so my encouragement to you this morning is talk about the things of God. Talk about your faith. Oftentimes it's a mom who might sit down and tuck her child into bed at night. And there's all kinds of great bedtime stories. But let me encourage you moms to take the time regularly to share your faith with your kids, to talk about how you came to know Jesus. Bring Jesus into the conversation over and over again. Talk about times when God answered prayer. Every mom in this place has cried out to God for something at some point, and you've seen God respond. You've seen God at work in your life as a person. You've seen God work in your life as a child, and you've experienced the treasure of having Jesus in your life and knowing God by faith. You have a sincere faith. Talk about that with your kids. If you're a grandma this morning, talk about that with your grandchildren. Talk about what God has done in your life. Pass on this sincere gift of faith to your children. Share your stories of faith with them, because the reality is, your children will be better off as a result. This is how sincere faith gets passed along from one generation to another. I want to ask this morning, how many of you would say, I had a mom that was like this? I had a mother of faith in my life. I had a mother who gave me the gift of faith. And I look back on my mother's life and I see tremendous example. I see how she lived her life. I saw that her faith was real. Can we just give an appreciation to all of our moms who've lived that kind of faith? One of our newest super moms in our church today is Kelly Johnson, and I saw her up there in the balcony a little bit earlier, and I think she's in the nursery now, but I'm just thinking about moms like Kelly, a brand new mom, but I've also experienced watching her life over these last couple of years, and I see her faith. And I know that she is going to pass this on to her little baby that's just been born in the last month. And so, friends, it starts now. And if maybe you've been a little late to the game, moms, if your faith has been sort of waning, if your faith has been struggling, if your faith has not been maybe what it could be or should be, let me encourage you to get your faith in a right place with God. Make Jesus the center and the Lord of your life. And allow that faith to be transferred to your children. Allow your kids to be able to experience that in their lives as well. And so, two gifts. The gift of you. The gift of your presence. The gift of your influence. The gift, secondly, of your faith. The gift of what Jesus Christ has done in your life and is doing in your life. And then the third gift, and the final gift that I'm going to talk about this morning, is the gift of your prayers. The gift of your prayers, which comes actually out of your faith. The gift of your prayers, the gift of your intercessions, the gift of crying out to God for your children. I've said this before, that there's, and I mentioned earlier about my wife, Barb, there's no one in our family who prays more for my four sons and their families than Barb. And oftentimes, tears will come to her, into her eyes, as she begins to share something about her kids, our kids, and the ache, the cry of her heart for them, and at different times of their lives. And in the Bible, we have the example of a praying mom. A mom, her name was Hannah. And in 1 Samuel chapter 1, we have the story of how Hannah, a mom, a woman of faith, prayed that God would bless her with a son. And in the story, and many of you are familiar with the story, this Hannah, she said, God, she said, if you will bless me with a son, she said, and she made a vow, she made a promise. She said, God, if you give me a son, I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. And you see Hannah, the Bible actually, in the story, the Bible actually says that she wept before God. And she cried out to God that God would bless her with this son. It was very important to her. Well, God did answer prayer. And I want you to know this morning, God still answers prayer today. God is a God who says, trust me and bring your prayers, bring your requests to me. The Bible says that we're to pray without ceasing. Friends, moms, never give up praying for your kids. Never give up praying for those situations in your family, in your household, that may seem impossible. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 27. God had answered prayer and a son had been born. Samuel was that son. And now, as time has gone on, he's a little bit older in his life. And it's time when God, or when Hannah was reminded of that prayer, and we find Hannah bringing her son Samuel to the temple. And now she's going to do something very, very difficult. And she's actually going to release her son into the care of those in the temple. And it was basically given this son over to the Lord. And it says in chapter 1, verse 27, this is what she said, I prayed for this child. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. And so now I give him to the Lord, and for his whole life he will be given over to the Lord. And so that's exactly what she did. She gave her son over to the Lord. Many of you have given your kids in an act of dedication over to the Lord. We're going to be doing this next Sunday. We've got a family that are going to be dedicating their child to the Lord. And I want to encourage you this morning that this is not just a one-act deal. Here, in this case, Hannah had made this vow before God even before he was born. He said, this child, I will give him to the Lord. And friends, we can never take those promises, those vows back. And I believe that God honors those vows. I believe that God honors those promises that we make before him. When we bring our children to the Lord in dedication, God honors those prayers, and we can trust God with our kids. So we're talking about the gift of your prayers, the gift of a prayer closet. I remember a couple of years ago, we showed the movie The War Room here, and many of you have seen that, and it's an amazing reminder of how important it is to have a place, a prayer closet, where you can regularly intercede for your kids. and for those situations in your life that you must trust God with? How many times, in moms this morning, let me ask you this question. How many times have you had to remind yourself that you've given your children over to the Lord? Let me see your hands. You've had to remind yourself. What about the time when your child first started riding their bike down the street and it kind of got away from you? Was that a bit of a scary moment in your life? I can remember when our kids started learning to ride the bike, because they were reckless, they were crazy, they were all over the place, and it was like, oh my goodness, like this may not end well. And it's a scary time. What about that time, that first day of kindergarten or preschool, when you've been the primary care, you've been the 24-hour care, and that first day that you actually have to let your kids go? How many found that was a bit of an awkward, challenging moment? Let me see it. Come on, be honest. It was maybe a tear. It may not have been easy, but that maybe some of you were dancing for joy. Let's go for coffee. I don't know, but probably, to be honest, a lot of you have felt that way. But what my point is, those times when you had to trust God, when you released them. Or maybe it's that time when you had to remind yourself, I've given my kid. Maybe when it came to making choices about right and wrong, and you so desperately want to make the choice for them. That's what every parent does, that, right? We want to make choices for our kids, but sooner or later, they start to make choices for themselves. And the reality is, they don't always make the right choice. And sometimes we have to be willing to let them kind of stumble a little bit along the way. But it's hard. It's hard to give up control. It's hard to let them go. Or that time they're out late at night and curfew is passed, like it was probably for some of you. Who's the one that's up praying? Who's the one? Dad's gone to, he's checked out, gone to bed. Who's out there praying and just, God, look after them, watch over them. They're late, where are they? And you're worrying, and it's mom, it's usually the mom. Or what about those times when your kids are struggling and are away from God, they've wandered away from God, they've become your prodigal son or your prodigal daughter? My encouragement to you this morning is to keep remembering that you've given your kids over to the Lord. Keep returning to your prayer closet. Friends, I want to just say this. Your kids cannot escape your prayers. They cannot escape the work and the power of the Holy Spirit. In our lives, we have a son who's not walking with Jesus right now. But it's really cool. Just in the last couple of weeks, my one son had this like 2-hour phone call with his mother. And when I came home the other night, Barb said to me, she said, Dave, you'll never guess the conversation we just had. And he began to share with his mom. He said, Mom, he said, I had the best childhood a kid could have ever wanted. You talk about a word of encouragement, because let's face it, a lot of times we feel like we've failed, right? A lot of times we feel like we've screwed up. We've made some mistakes, and we made our share of mistakes. We made many as parents. But when he said, I had the best childhood a kid could have ever wanted. And he said, I desperately want to believe what you believe. And so we just felt there's something inside of him that is still reaching out for what we've planted in his life as a child. And so my encouragement this morning is, let's continue. Moms, make sure your prayer closet is a place that you return to again and again and again. I love the story of Augustine. Maybe some of you know it. It's an interesting story. But Augustine became one of the early church fathers. But before that, he was a man who was living very much in sin, far from God. He was a brilliant guy, but along with his brilliance, he wasn't so brilliant when it came to his life. He was very reckless with his life and lived, in many ways, a very undisciplined life. But it was, what's interesting, that it was his mother, her name was Monica, and she prayed for him for years and years that he would come back to faith. One time, she was so desperate in her prayers that she went to her local priest for counsel. And it was sort of like, is there anything else I can do? And she poured her heart out to her priest, and she just shared what she was doing, and her priest listened as she poured out her heart, her love, and her intercession for her prodigal son. And at the end of all of this, the priest looked at Monica, and basically saying, I'm desperate, what do I do? And the priest, basically, his reply to her was, just go. Well, thanks a lot for the good advice. Just go, he said. Leave me alone. He said, live as you are living, for it is not possible, and I love these words, that this son of such tears should be lost. And I thought, what a powerful word. This son of such tears, it's impossible for this son to be lost. What's interesting is that Monica, she prayed for her son, who eventually became St. Augustine. Her son Augustine would, she actually prayed. She prayed that Augustine would not go to Rome. But what's interesting is that he did go to Rome. She didn't want him to go to Rome because Rome was a wicked, vile place at that time. But the interesting part of the story was this, that it was in Rome, the place that Monica had actually prayed against, it was in Rome that Augustine eventually came to know Jesus Christ. And the rest is history. He became St. Augustine, became one of the fathers of the church. And so my point this morning is this, moms, keep giving your kids the gift of your prayers. It's a gift. And there's going to be times when you're going to pray and you're going to wonder, like, is anything happening? Will God ever answer my prayer? Let me encourage you to pray with great hope. I actually, when I was writing this message, before I had the word prayer, I actually had give them the gift of your hope. But I changed it to prayer, because I believe that prayer is something that has to be fueled by hope. The Bible says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. Friends, moms, allow hope to fuel your prayers. Did you hear what I said? Allow hope to fuel your prayers. Let's believe, God, that your kids, no matter what the circumstances are going to experience the same faith and relationship that you've had with God. I loved our theme this past week when we were at our general conference for the PAOC in Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada in Victoria. The theme for the conference was Picture This. Picture This. And as we were driving home, I had some thoughts going through my mind as I was thinking about today. And I had this thought about picturing. See, for the PAOC, they're celebrating 100 years over this next year. And in a sense, they are asking people to picture where they see God taking us over the next while. And it's like getting a picture of faith in front of you. And I had this thought, we need to picture our children serving Jesus. Is that a good picture to hold on to this morning? You with young children, or maybe children that have walked away from God, can you get a picture again of your children serving Jesus? Picture God's plan being fulfilled in the lives of your kids. God has a plan for your kids. Moms, get a picture of God's plan being fulfilled. Get a picture, those of you that have sons and daughters that maybe are away from God, that have wandered away. They've become your prodigals. Get a picture of your prodigal sons and daughters coming home. I have a picture in my mind and in my heart today along with my wife, of our son returning to Jesus. I have a picture, and I'm not going to let that go. Get a picture of them coming home. Get a picture of your kids in heaven with you. How many think that's a worthwhile picture to have? A picture of your kids in heaven with you. And so, as we close today, I'm going to invite the worship team to come back. How we're going to close this morning is we're going to close with just a time of, I'm going to invite every mom in this place, every mom, every grandmother, maybe you're an expectant mom. I'm going to invite you to come, and I want to have you come and stand around this front, and we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray blessing over you. You've got a major responsibility, and the last thing I wanted to do this morning is add more of a burden to you. And I know sometimes we think, oh, do I got to do this too? Folks, moms, my encouragement, if you can focus on these important things, God's not going to ask you to do something that he's not going to give you the power and the grace to do it. Let's stand together, everybody. The song that we sang earlier was To My Knees. And, you know, there's just something about trusting God with our kids. Yeah, feel free just to begin to step out, moms, grandmas, expectant. Maybe there'll be some, oh, I didn't know she was expectant. just kidding, but step right up here close, everybody. I want to encourage you this morning, moms. Your kids need the gift of you. And however you work that out, we've got some, you know, you're all busy. But my encouragement is that make sure that they are getting the best of you. In spite of all the other stuff that you're doing, make sure they're getting the best of you. Make sure they're getting the best of your faith. Make sure that they are learning from your experience with God. There's times I look back on my childhood and I miss some of Mother Ruth because I was so small, and I was forgetful then. I still am, and there's a lot of things, but I know that this was such an important thing to her. But the one thing I do remember was her helping me to come to know Jesus. It was Mother Mary B. in my teen years who prayed for me, because in my teen years I walked away from that early decision. I walked away from God. And I became a little bit like an Augustine. But I can remember coming home. I might have shared this before, but I can remember coming home from school, and I could hear some groaning coming out of her bedroom, my mom and dad's bedroom. The door would be closed, and it was my mother, who was Mother Mary B., who was crying out to God for us, praying for us kids, praying for me, her son, to come back to Jesus. And I'm today a beneficiary of my mother's presence, my mother's faith, and my mother's prayers. My encouragement to you is that that would be something that you would pass on as gifts to your kids or your grandkids. I see Sandra here. I know how precious those little grandbabies are to you. You've got a lot to give them. I see Super Mom Kelly here. Brand new mom. You've got so much to give that little girl. The gift of you. the gift of your amazing faith, Kelly. The gift of your prayers. Start now. I know many of you moms prayed for your babies when they were in your womb. Sometimes you wish you could just put them back there, right? No, they said no. Yeah, there's a guy slipped there, right? Yeah. To my knees. And so everybody else, just stretch your hand towards these guys, these mums. Amazing mums. Amazing mums. You are amazing. Our church, we owe a lot as a church to you guys, because without you guys, it would be tough sometimes. Thank you. Thanks for being you. Thanks for the job you're doing raising your children. Be careful that you don't listen to the lies of the enemy who would come to rob you, to steal from you, steal your joy, rob you of heart. Never believe that there's no situation that's too far gone. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord. To our knees this morning, we just say, God, we need you. We pray blessing today over these precious, beautiful moms. Moms, just take the hand of the mom beside you, all right? We stand together. We're moms standing strong. Moms strong today. We pray for increased creativity and strength to be able to give the gift of you. In times maybe when you're tired, in times when you're trying to juggle all the balls and all the responsibilities and all the assignments that seem to land in your plate, that you would just by faith give the gift of you, give the best of you, give the best of your faith. Father, we pray. I pray for these women to be like Grandma Lois and Mother Eunice, who will raise Timothy's and Samuel's, boys and girls, men and women, to be men and women of God. Strong men and women of God. Men and women of faith. I just declare that in Jesus' name. I declare that Comox Pentecostal Church will be stronger and mightier and more powerful going into the future because of these moms and their influence, their faith, and their prayers. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We speak blessing. I pray that younger moms will learn from older moms. I pray for the grandmas, Lord, to have a special anointing upon them as they carry these years of wisdom and knowledge that they can bring to their grandchildren, but also to the younger moms. I pray for moms to be teachable. I pray that we wouldn't learn all that we can learn off the internet. I pray that we could learn from godly women. Godly moms who've done it. We just pray in Jesus' name. The best is yet to come. And we just want to thank you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All the guys behind, standing behind, can we give these guys a big applause? Bless them. Give them a high five, cheer. We just bless you guys. We bless you in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.